that God was incapable of forgiving his sins, his past sins, that God had an evil intent towards him. Turn with me to chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, and you'll see this. Job chapter 10, verses 13. Yet these present evils, have you hid in your heart for me since my creation. I know that this was with you in your purpose and thought. If I sin, then you observe me, and you will not acquit me from my iniquity and guilt. If I am wicked, woe unto me. And if I am righteous, yet must I not lift up my head, for I am filled with disgrace and the sight of my affliction. If I lift myself up, you hunt me down like a lion and show yourself inflicting marvelous trials upon me. Do you call on for deliverance someone who deals with you in that fashion? And yet Job looks to God to deliver him and yet believes that God has never forgiven him. Believes that God has remembered every past sin. And there are some of us ladies who are in that situation. We remember our past sins and we think that God has not forgotten our past sins. The Lord showed me years ago, I would go to him and I would pray and ask for forgiveness. And I'd say, oh, Father, thank you for forgiving me. And then the next day or a week later, I'd say, oh, Father, please forgive me of that sin that I confessed the other day. Oh, please forgive me of that sin that I committed when I was 12 years old. Oh, please forgive me. So finally, one day, the Lord said, Sarah, when you come to me the first time and you ask me to forgive you, I take your sin and I throw it behind my back into the sea of forgetfulness. And then you, like a little puppy, you run and get it. And you bring it back and say, look at the sin. He said, who are you to hold against you something that I have forgiven? Are you a god unto yourself? Ladies, it was a form of idolatry because I had established a standard that was different than the word of God. And I had to begin to recognize that it is the enemy who comes at me and who throws that thought of, do you remember when? Or who rekindles that image of sin in my life. And I've got to recognize, and we have got to recognize, that those thoughts are from the enemy and are not from ourselves. And we must cast them down and take them captive to the obedience of Christ, which says that I am forgiven and I am cleansed from all unrighteousness when I confess my sin. Job did not know his God. His God is capricious. One day he loves and finds favor. Job finds favor with God, and the next day, in Job's estimation, he afflicts. He believes that God is out to slay him. Job is terrified of God. He says, do not let my fear of you terrify me. All right? And there are times, ladies, when we are to reverence God. We are always to reverence God and worship him and to live in reverential awe. And the Bible often translates that as fear. It is because I reverence God that I will not gossip. It is because I reverence God that I will not engage in sexual sin. Out of reverence, because I know that if I sin, I am separated from him. All right? My fellowship with him is broken. My relationship is not broken, but my fellowship with him is broken. And I want to walk in with an intimacy with him, the same intimacy with him that Jesus had. I want to have that same kind of fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And sin creates a break there in our fellowship. So I have a reverential awe of God and will not sin because of my reverence of him and my awe of him. Right? But I am not and should not be terrified of him. Now, sometimes the presence of the Lord can so manifest that the body starts trembling, and yeah, we get just a little nervous. Oh, Lord. All right? But that's a holy reverential awe, not terrified. All right? I believe that part of Job's problem here is that he did not know his God. He did not know God's character. He did not know God's promises and did not know God's heart towards him. If he knew that, he would not have worried about God holding some grudge against him, God remembering his past sins. And second, I believe that he gave free expression to his complaint, speaking in bitterness of his soul, accusing God. But I believe that's a byproduct of his lack of knowledge of God. If he had known God as Hannah knew God, instead of speaking in bitterness of his soul to God, complaining about God, he would have spoken to God in prayer. Because he didn't know God, he spoke harshly, judgmentally, words of accusation. Now, ladies, I'm not saying that we're supposed to put on a happy face and pretend like there aren't any problems, because God knows all of our problems. God knows every situation. I'm not saying that we're supposed to pretend like nothing is wrong. You know, put on a front to God. And sometimes, those of us in the Word of Faith camp, we start confessing the Word without our hearts being honest with God, all right? And we don't have to front with God. We can be honest with God. Turn to Psalms chapter 69. And we see David in a similar situation. Listen, he says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. They threaten my life. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold." He says, "I can't stand, Lord. I can't stand. I'm overwhelmed. I have come into deep waters where the floods overwhelm me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched." The Sarah Jenkins translation is, "I have cried out for you so long, Lord. My throat's dry. And I've cried so long, Lord, that my eye is growing dim." All right? "I've cried so long, Lord, I can't see." He goes on. He says, "Those who hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who cut me off and destroy me, being my enemies wrongly, are many and mighty. I am forced to restore what I did not steal. Oh God, you know my folly, you know my blundering, my sins and my guilt are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait and hope and look to you, O Lord of hosts, be put to shame through me. Let not those who seek and inquire for and require you as their vital necessity be brought to confusion and dishonor through me, O God of Israel." He says, "Because of your sake I have borne taunt and reproach. Confusion and shame have covered my face." And he goes on and on. So his situation is a lot like Job's situation. But I want you to see verse 13, ladies. He says, "But as for me, my prayer is unto you, O Lord, at an acceptable and opportune time, O God, in the midst of your mercy and the abundance of your loving kindness, hear me. And in the truth and faithfulness of your salvation, answer me." Here we have David, who is being honest with God. He's not fronting with God. He's not pretending like nothing is wrong. He's saying, "God, I've waited. This is taking much longer than I thought. God, look at how I'm being treated. God, look at what's happening to me." But he reverenced God. He says, "But Lord, I know that in the appointed time, you're going to answer." He has faith. He's honest with God. And yet he expresses his faith that God is going to hear and that God is going to answer. You see the difference? He reverences God. He doesn't accuse God. He acknowledges, yes, you know all of my past sins, but you're not. He doesn't accuse God of holding those past sins against him. He says, you know my past sins. And then he prays for help. Job never really sought the Lord for help. Deliver me out of my situation. And the few times that we see Job asking, expecting God to deliver, he comes back with, but I know you'll hunt me down. All right? Ladies, we've got to know that a part of winning to victory is coupled with faith in God and patience. All right? Now, patience didn't used to be one of my favorite words. The Lord said to me 2 years ago, he said, Sarah, you're impatient. I said, oh, no, Lord, I'm not impatient. He said, Sarah, you're impatient. I went, yes, Lord, I'm impatient. I admit it. Please forgive me. He said, you're impatient. I said, yes. I said, Lord, I know that I need patience, but could we hurry up and get this over with? let's just get the answer here. But it is through faith and patience that we inherit our promises and our victories. Impatience means becoming distressed, discouraged. Discouraged with God's timing. If we become impatient, we are tempted, ladies, to rail and to speak against God and his anointed leaders. And I want you to know that when we begin to rail against anointed leaders, God says, you are railing against me. When we rail against God and his anointed leaders, that's murmuring, ladies. Murmuring against God, and it opens the door to the enemy to come in and to continue the attack and harassment against us. It only delays the process even more. Impatience shows a lack of trust in God and his intentions towards us. Impatience also indicates an unwillingness to receive God's methods, an unwillingness to receive his wisdom, his answer, and his timing. David provides for us a solid example of how we are to win to victory. You recall the story in 2 Samuel, chapter 30. The men left to go and pursue the enemy, and the wives were taken captive and all of their goods. And the men return and they see their stronghold destroyed and their livestock and their families taken, and they despaired of even life itself. All right? And in that stress, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he set my feet in a broad place. God is for me. What can man do to me? I see David raising his hands and worshiping God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. He knew his God, and he began to worship. And then, as was his custom, he asked God, God, what do I do? Do I go after them? Do I go up? And God says, go up. Job didn't worship after the second attack. Job didn't raise his hands and begin to praise God and to thank him and to bless his name. Job began to complain and to rail against God. Ladies, we've got to know our God. We've got to know our covenant right to be healed, to be whole, to bear seed. We've got to know our covenant rights. that we are to lend and not borrow, that we are to owe no man but to love. We have got to know our covenant rights. We have got to know that he is for us and never against us. And we must praise him in the midst of the trial. We must worship him. Bring that sacrifice of praise. Bring our tithes and our offerings. We must say with our mouth what the word of God says that we are to have. And we are to seek and inquire of him. God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do in this situation? 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Paul acknowledges that he was oppressed in every way and afflicted at every turn. He says, there is fighting and contention without and dread and fears within, but God comforts, encourages, refreshes, and he cheers the depressed and sinking. The beautiful thing about Job's story is that Job broke through eventually. He really broke through. God had to speak to him out of the whirlwind. But you see, God was for him. And God knew what it took to get Job turned around and pursuing his victory. And once God brought to his attention Job, I'm God. You know, I'm God. Job repents. Notice, he repents. God tells him to bring a sacrifice, to make an offering. His friends bring animals for him to begin to offer a burnt offering. He gets back to his pattern before. And then he begins to see a restoration of everything that was taken from him. God is faithful, ladies. God is faithful. Job worships, brings an offering, and Job acknowledges. He said, you know, I didn't know you. I didn't understand you. He said, I had heard of you, but now I see you. He means, now I know you spiritually. He came on to know his God. And then he worshiped and he prayed. He prayed for his friends. Ladies, we are to claw our way to victory. And the Lord has laid on my heart that there are some here tonight who have railed against God in their circumstances. And I want to, like Eli did, I want to come into agreement with you for that victory that you're believing God for. I want to come into agreement with you that you will see your victory. You will receive your victory. And I'd like for us to just pray right now. First, a prayer of repentance for railing against God. And if you'd like to come down, I'd like to pray with you and for you individually. Father, we just thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your heart towards us. That you love us with an everlasting love. Oh, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are for us. That in our distress, Lord God, when we call upon you, you hear us. That you root yourself immediately, that you stir yourself, and you begin to dispatch angels, Lord, at the first utterance of our cry, to help us, Father, to bring forth what we need. And Lord, we thank you that you have demonstrated your love towards us in sending Jesus to die for us. Father, you knew every sin we would ever commit, and yet you sent Jesus to die for us. And we thank you for that awesome demonstration of your love. Father, we thank you. And Lord, we repent of railing against you in our hearts, even when it hasn't come out of our mouths, when we have railed against you. Or railed against your anointed. Lord, when they've asked us to give and to continue to give, and they've challenged us, Father. Father, we ask you to forgive us when we have railed against you, when we have judged them, Father. When we have judged you and accused you. Father, we repent. And Lord, we just receive right now your forgiving grace and mercy. And Father, we thank you that your mercy is new to us every day. And that your goodness and mercy, Lord, are trying to overtake us because you said that they are following us all the days of our lives. And Lord, we turn around right now and we face the obstacles. We face the persecution. We face the oppression. Lord, we face it. And Lord, we choose this night that we will not let go of you until we have captured, Lord, taken hold of everything that you've promised us. Father, we're going to be like Jacob. We're going to hold on to you until you bless us. And we thank you for it, Father. And we worship you, Lord. Amen.